Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, December 18th, 2018. We're at Vets Hall. This is the regular monthly meeting of the Citizens Finance Advisory Committee and the Citizens Oversight Committee acting as CFAC. It's 3:30 p.m., so I'd like to open the meeting. We have a quorum present with members Walter Heath and John Irwin absent, and Dawn Addis no longer on the CFAC due to her election to City Council. Call this meeting to order. Let's rise for the pledge, please.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. First off, are there any committee members' announcements or presentations, please? Go ahead, Bart.
I'd like to remind everyone watching to make sure you sign up for the Winter Bird Festival. It's coming up middle of January, Martin Luther King's birthday. So go online to the Morro Coast Audubon Society webpage and go to the Winter Bird Festival and sign up and enjoy the birds.
Thank you, Bart. Anything else? All right. I will open public comment period for any public comment on items not on the agenda at this time. Seeing none, I'll close public comment, and we will proceed to the consent calendar. Item A1 on the consent calendar is the approval of minutes for the October 16th CFAC meeting. Has everybody had an opportunity to review those, and do we have a motion to approve them as submitted in our agenda packet?
We approve those minutes from the October meeting.
All right, thank you, Bart. Second?
Second.
Second, John Martin. Thank you. Same thing, approval of minutes from the November 20th CFAC meeting. If everybody's reviewed those, I didn't see any changes or anything. Anybody else? Motion to approve? All right, thank you, Bart. And second?
I'll second.
John second. John Martin second. Bart Beckman moved. So moved. All in favor on both items?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. A1 and A2 are approved. 4-0. Okay. That takes us to item B1, the business items, and we're going to begin today's meeting with an update from our finance director, Jennifer Calway. Jen, I'll turn it over to you. She will present, and then we'll maybe have questions and comments. Thank you.
Good evening, afternoon, and thank you. Happy holidays to everybody. This is a short agenda today, mostly because we've been working on the CAFR document and it takes a lot of work behind the scenes to get the document you have in front of you, even in its preliminary state. Really want to thank Sandy. She's been the lead on this and has worked very hard at reconciling all the numbers and getting everything to the auditors. So appreciate that, and thank you, Sandy. We will meet again in January. We have 4 vacancies on the committee. Applications are due if anybody is interested, January 11th. And interviews are scheduled for January 23rd, so tentatively scheduled at this point with a special meeting. So anybody interested in applying, you can get applications on the website or at City Hall. So we encourage you to do that. If you have any questions, you're welcome to reach out to myself or any city clerk, city manager, anybody on the committee, and ask them about the role. We're happy to help answer any of those in advance. And then in early January, January 8th, the three of us here, Valerie, Sandy, and I, will be attending CSMFO down in Palm Springs. So when we reconvene on the 15th, which we may not have quorum at that point, but if we do and we are able to meet again on the 15th, we'll report back on the conference and what we learned down there. And just to reiterate again, we were fortunate enough to get a scholarship for Sandy to attend. So we're sending 3 people for the price of 2. So happy about that. And that is all I have today.
Okay, and this was a follow-up to last month's meeting when you mentioned the training and the scholarship and that. So very good, and I'm glad to hear that plans are finalized for that. So thanks. All right, so that go ahead. Comment on B1.
A little question that you touched on in your comments there. When does your term expire? Well, the term of the three, you, Barbara Walter, and John.
Do you want to clarify that? It always says at the, which it usually says January of the year, but it doesn't say what day in January. That's what I think he's asking.
My form says January 31st to the 19th.
31st? Okay.
Yes. We should have everybody still on the board with the exception of Councilmember Addis.
Okay. Good. Thanks for clarifying that. All right. So that brings us to the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, the CAFR. That's item B2 on our agenda. First off, thank you, John, and any others that submitted questions to Jennifer. And thank you, Jennifer, for turning those around. We received that email. Hopefully everybody's had an opportunity to review that. I may have a few other comments, and maybe some of my colleagues will as well. But I think that's very helpful. So how would you like us to do this? Would you folks like to make comments, or I have some comments? And first of all, I guess the questions that were submitted in advance and diligently answered, does anybody have any further discussion on those? That would be the first order of business, I believe. John?
No, I appreciate Jennifer and her staff answering those so quickly, and the only comment I would make is it would be nice for the committee to be able to see the remainder of it, the stat section and the management reports, before it goes to the council. But it doesn't seem like there's going to be time for that because you want to hit that GFOA deadline.
Right now we are targeted to have a final draft issued or prepared Thursday. If we don't meet that, we'll still have Friday as hopefully a backup. But the auditors are emailing us as we speak here with some, back and forth things on some final things we are trying to reconcile in terms of the – there's some budget – a chart that highlights where appropriations are – expenditures exceed appropriations, if I can find my words. And there's a few that we don't understand how they've calculated the appropriation amount. The auditors roll things up and group things differently than maybe we view them. An example would be under general fund and finance, that includes HR and that includes city rental property, groupings that we don't necessarily associate when we're looking at the budget. So we're reconciling what's rolled up into those numbers and how they've gotten to them so that we can understand why they went over budget, and I don't want to write a response that we understand going forward until we do and we reach agreement on what those numbers are. So that's kind of the final cleanup item right now. They have the signed transmittal letter. They have the final MD&A. They're waiting for my response on that internal control questionnaire, and Sandy will input the net position numbers into the stats. That's the last piece. They have about a one-day turnaround. So if we get that to them either tonight or tomorrow morning, we should be able to get it late Thursday without a problem. So if that happens, we can send it to the committee in that final form, again, via email, and we'll post it on our website for transparency, too. We don't want to do a Brown Act violation. So I can work with Dana on how to make that happen. We do need to get it submitted to GFOA by the December 31st deadline. So any comments or feedback back would have to be a pretty quick turnaround, and given the holidays, that's up to you.
Being this is the first submittal, they probably would extend that deadline for you, but it's good that you can make that. Do you think that this is the same kind of schedule that will be adhered to in future years, or is there any way of actually getting this done sooner?
That would be super nice.
Do you see it? Is it the auditors that are stretching it out, or?
Well, they had a little bit. The lead auditor, his wife had their first child and had some complications, so he was out earlier than expected. So that left kind of the rest of the staff to finish up, you know, when he had to leave. Thankfully, they're all doing healthy and well, but I think it was just kind of the go back and forth, and the schedule that Paul and I had agreed on, you know, wasn't necessarily passed down or known when he left. We hope it can go quicker. You know, it's my second year, and the first year here, you know, was kind of like this as well. And, you know, we didn't get it out till March. So it definitely has been a rush at the end. But they've worked really hard and are working late nights to get it done, too. So we're all trying and hopefully can just improve on it going forward.
In a perfect world, what kind of schedule would you like to see for it to come to the CFAC?
I think it will always... One of the challenges is I don't think we're really going to be able to meet the November regular meeting. They don't come out till October. I'm not sure it's really feasible to get it all turned around within a month, essentially. I'd like to be able to, if we could do a special meeting in earlier December, I think that would be helpful, where you can have some time to really look through it. If we get it to you, you know, a couple weeks, even if we could get it to you, or I guess in early December, to have more of a couple weeks to turn around. Standard, the MDNA and the transmittal is fairly standard. It's just updating it. Eventually, we might want to revise it, but I don't think we're there yet. So it's really kind of that double check that you're doing and the questions that you ask. We can try to do that, but I'm not sure we'd be able to do it much for earlier than early December.
So the October date for their field work is set because you need that much time to do all the reconciliations?
By the time we get everything closed out in September, there's a lot of supporting schedules to support. Sandy can add in here, but 86 different schedules that we have to, you know, get information into and make sure they reconcile and tie out to get to them. And inevitably, when they're here for a week. There's always follow-up, and this time they actually scanned some of the stuff and took it with them to finish their field work. In terms of the bank reconciliations and that kind of thing. So they weren't even done with field work when they left, really, this time. So, you know, we work as fast as we can and get them everything that we can, but they also have 40-some other clients that they're working on, too. So everybody has the same deadline.
Thanks, Jennifer. I think John's point is very well taken, and if we're going to review it, you know, besides the fact that maybe there are sometimes going to be last-minute emergencies or personal, we certainly understand that. But we should have some adequate time. Otherwise, I think it's discouraging, you know, to members to even make the effort, you know. So if we can get a special meeting or something in early December, even if that's in lieu of the regular meeting here, that's fine, too. That would be a good way to go. So thanks for that update. And for members of the audience and the TV viewing audience, the CAFR is the Comprehensive Annual Financial Review. What we're talking about here is done annually by the city and the auditing team. And this one happens to be about 150-plus pages, so this isn't like a six-page document that we're asking to be reviewed. So we're trying to expand the schedule a little bit so that the reviewing parties have adequate time to do a good job, because we only do this once a year. So thank you. Okay. Dave, did you have comments on the CAFR?
Are we talking about the CAFR or the audit?
We're talking about the CAFR, right?
CAFR, okay. Yeah. The only comment I'd make is I really would have to have more time to look at it. That's all.
Okay. Is that what? Go ahead, Bart. You were going to...
Very similar. I think it might help us if we're going to have some number of new members, at least one. Mm-hmm. I would certainly appreciate having a workshop that's not under all the rules to go through a lot of this information. John's unbelievably well-versed in all of this, so it's easy, not easy, but he's able to go through this and come up with some amazing set of comments, which other people don't have the privilege of seeing, but he certainly did a lot of work. But I think a workshop would help the basic budget and then going through some of this. The one question I've got, and it probably is in there, the answer, but we know that this CalPERS issue is a big deal going forward, and I guess I'd like to have a better appreciation for the money we're talking about. We, by prepaying the payments, we saved about, what is it, $20,000 or $30,000 in interest in the last fiscal year, which was a good thing. So we're talking about saving $20,000 to $30,000, but I've heard that it's a million or a million and a half. Is that a per year number, or what's going to be the impact to the overall budget, and when is that going to hit us? Because I'm assuming it's not a $20,000 issue we're talking about. We're talking about a, I've heard, a million, million and a half dollar issue. So what's sort of the high-level view of those numbers?
Yeah, go ahead. That was a side fund that the interest was paid
down. Yeah, the CalPERS or the pension liability is included in here, and that's part of why overall net position, part of the GASB statements, which is Government Accounting Standards Board, 68, was that we have to account for all those pension liabilities. And then this year we added GASB 75, which is the other post-employment benefits, so health and benefits, health benefits, that kind of thing. Your question about PERS overall, we saved $50,000 citywide. The 20 to 30 was general fund for paying off the fire side fund. That's not correct. Sorry, I have to go back up. For prepaying our UAL in July rather than on monthly payments. So that was the $50,000 interest savings. We saved interest by prepaying the city's fire classic side fund. We made a $301,000 payment last year, and I'm forgetting how much we saved in there, but we saved interest from doing that as well. That was like prepaying that second mortgage.
Yeah, I'm thinking prospective, not
the overall PERS is not, it's hard to give you an annual amount because PERS is going to, they call it a trapezoid, meaning it goes up, it kind of flattens out a little bit, will go down and then flatten. You know, it looks like a trapezoid. So it's not an equal annual installment each year. Our payments will max out about 2032, 2031, somewhere in that time frame. Next year, we're looking at about $300,000 to $350,000 in increases just for PERS. And it ramps up, and then it comes down a little bit, and it ramps up again. Overall, I think our unfunded liability was $20 million, and I can get that number for you.
But that's close up. So it goes up $300,000 next. Is the next fiscal year the
1920. Yeah.
Then does it keep going up to five, up to a million or so?
Yes.
In some number of years? So
yes.
It pretty quickly is escalating to where we save $15,000, but we're going up $300,000. So some fairly draconian steps are going to need it. Either we figure out how to get more tourists to come in and spend money or cut back. Is that
right?
To make sure I understand the magnitude of this. This is not what I'll call a gap issue, which is somewhat discretionary. This is an obligation.
That's correct. And that's all been calculated and included in our 10-year forecast. So we've kind of forecasted out what we project the increases to max out at over the next, you know, 10 years. Obviously, 10 years from now, our estimates are probably off. You know, they're not going to be exact. But we've included that in the forecast. So when we're looking at budgeting, we try to prepare for that. An example would be leaving the deputy city manager position vacant. That was done intentionally, knowing that we had these increased costs coming down and wouldn't be able to afford to keep it funded. So we've tried to make some of those decisions moving along.
But we somewhat balanced the budget, if you will, already by doing that. So that one is sort of in the bag, right?
Yeah, I think we did close this year with some excess revenues over expenditures. We're tracking pretty well to do that this year as well, but we know we should have because of that prepayment of the PERS, you know, side fund. We didn't reduce our budget to account for that. We wanted it to roll out as savings at year end, so it was kind of built in there already as you started increasing rates. So we've been trying to do it a little bit, but when you're talking a $300,000 to $350,000 amount, that's a significant amount.
And it's going up.
Right, and it's just going to keep growing.
Okay, thank you.
And there's if you read through some of the notes in the CAFR report, there's a lot of explanation about the pension, the liability, how they calculate it, longevity, and the discount rate. I think they is for this year 7.15%, and they've done some stress testing to ensure that that is still accurate. So as I understand, what was it, $1.3 million, the unfunded liability right now, approximately?
I'd have to go through the notes.
Yeah, okay.
But Barbara,
there was a lot in there.
If you
told me it was already there, I wouldn't have been surprised.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. There's in note 8 of the CAFR on page 73, there's a sensitivity analysis that looks at what the liability is, the unfunded liability, given the 7.15% discount rate, and that's $24.6 million. So basically, the city is $24.6 million behind being on track to fully fund all of the eventual benefits. But if CalPERS failed in receiving that rate of return by one percentage point, so if the discount rate were only 6.15, then the liability would be $37.6 million. But if they somehow happen to earn 1% more than the 7.15, then it would only be about 13.9 million. So, and that's the reason why this is really treated differently than other types of long-term liabilities, because it's so dependent on that rate of return. That's why it's kind of a fuzzy number. And it has to be continually reevaluated. Every year the city gets a valuation report which forecasts future assets and liabilities and what their contribution rate is going to need to be. But at this point in time, while CalPERS is going through this transition in their discount rate, the fact of the matter is that the city, as well as most every other agency in the state, is falling further behind and is going to catch up in the future as these contribution rates are increased. But as of the last fiscal year, the point is that you actually did fall farther behind on that liability. But that's the way the game is being played right now, and eventually the payments have to be made. But
the other piece of that is when the discount rate or the interest rate that the CalPERS is earning, they are actually doing fairly well. It takes a couple years for them to cycle that through in their valuations. Mm-hmm. So you don't see that, you know, for a couple years out. Will they even begin to factor if they've met the 7.2% or did not meet it? So that, you know, they can change the discount rate again at any point in the future, and that would either benefit us or hurt us, most likely hurt us.
And then the other thing, too, if you look at, I think, one of the charts that had the number of retirees or beneficiaries, they're all on the Tier 1, but the tiers for the contribution rates and the benefits were changed, Tier 2 and that third tier, PERS or whatever it's called. But that's going to take until those people retire, so that's our long-term, you know, they're already negotiating that now, which will help, but we're on the short-term.
Right.
It's not quite, the picture isn't as rosy. So, any other comments? Jennifer, if I could just ask a couple questions or make some comments, go through it real quickly. On the CAFR, on the preface, Roman numeral 8, and I'll send this all to you in writing. Once again, it had the property tax as the largest revenue generator. We've discussed that in the TOT. I think they fluctuate between, we talked about that the last, but according to this, it says the property tax, they're both pretty close. People are always asking about that and the sales tax, so I just kind of like to make a note of that. Typo on page Roman numeral 11, I'll send you that, no biggie. The other thing I was going to suggest on page 5 of the CAFR, page 28 of the agenda, the management discussion and analysis, there were some very good statistics there on the bottom of what has increased, you know, our net position in several categories. So I think that's, um, I, think it's some good statistics, but some good news from some of this. When we go on to do maybe some updating on the budget and brief, maybe we can pull some of this because it's right out of the audit report. And maybe somehow we summarize that in a little bullet form or something. But just for future reference, that was one comment I had. And then moving along, and I'm sorry I didn't send this to you in writing ahead of time like I like to. On page 10 of the report, 33 on the agenda item, and this is the table 2, City of Morro Bay changes in net position. We noticed on the fire and the police, the very first column, how it went up from 3 million to 4 million and the other one 2.7 million to 3.6 million. It's like about a 30-35% increase. Is that all pension related? Speaking of our, this is again page 10 of the CAFR, going right down to the expenses on the left first column. Fire and police, everything else seems to be a little more in line with previous year expenses and revenues, but those really jumped phenomenally, I would say.
Off the top of my head, I know fire, that accounts for, there was a significant amount of mutual aid support.
Okay, mutual aid, yeah. And so I have a question on the next
that
point. Okay, hold that thought.
All of the overtime for that. And I believe that the
police,
the side fund payment of $301,000 is included in fire as
well. Oh, okay.
So that makes up for about the $1 million there.
Mm-hmm.
For police, I would have to look at what that was. I'm not sure what that is off the top of my head. I can get back to you on that.
And on the bottom of that page, the paragraph business type activities, it was talking about rates. This is on another subject, so it continues on the next page, water and sewer. It said rates will continue to increase for the next 4 years to ensure compliance with bond cover ratios required for the city's participation in the state water project. Is that still the case, or is that from the 215 language when the rates were increased to accommodate sewer and water?
No, that should be deleted. That was leftover language.
I don't want anybody to read that and get even more alarmed than they are. We are, already
out
on the rates. Okay. Okay, so then the mutual aid, that's included in the fire. We have that. I have something there on Measure Q to discuss. Actually, a lot of the previous comments you got eliminated all my thoughts, but I will come back to that. Oh, and then, and I'll bring this up on, I can bring it up right now on the Measure Q. We used to previously get a carryover report, okay? Is that what's on page 123 of the CAFR? Is that the carryover report? I hope so, because the numbers look good.
So this is your fund balance, which is the amount of money available in the fund when you take away your your liabilities. Kind of steering away from a carryover report that was working off a cash basis.
Okay.
So we're trying to now give you what your fund balance is.
Okay, but it's the equivalent of that because we spent in Measure Q $100,000 less than we did,
correct.
And if you add that to the $74,000 you get.
Correct.
So and we used to always on the Measure Q look for that carryover and that. Okay, perfect. Thank you so much for that. Okay, that's pretty much what I have on the CAFR, although some of this I used for Measure Q analysis as well. Okay, so what would you like us to do? I can send you a couple little comments here. I meant to do it in writing.
Yeah, all of the questions that came in that we provided, some very brief responses to, I think we've captured all of those changes at this point. We'll go ahead and do the few revisions that you just mentioned. If there's anything else that anybody has and you want to email those to us, if you could do that tonight or first thing in the morning so we can get revised copies to the auditors, that would be helpful. You'll see this again in final form. We'll bring it back in January, and we'll have more of an analysis with it at that point. This was really trying to get comments and feedback to incorporate into that final draft.
Okay.
See it January 15th, and then it will go to council the second. It's tentatively scheduled for the second meeting in January, which is the 22nd.
Oh, okay. All right.
And we'll be able to hopefully report back that we got it submitted to GFOA.
That we got what? I'm sorry?
We're able to get it submitted to GFOA.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead, John, please.
Yeah, I don't know how the other committee members feel about this, but I sure would like to get a bound copy again this year if I could.
Absolutely. And we are preparing to have, instead of the logo on the front page, we're going to have one of our tourist photos from one of the professional photographers that we hired for tourism.
Saw that comment. Very good. Okay. All right. So if anybody has any other comments on this, please, I would say within the next 24 hours, send them to Jennifer so she can get them to the auditors in time. But and that applies to the public as well. So, okay. Thank you. All right, so let us go to item B3, review of the unaudited for 2017-18 transactions. That would be the last fiscal year, not the current fiscal year, from the collection of the Measure Q 1/2 cent sales tax.
So maybe I should start and say we called these unaudited. We have not, the auditors prepared the pension entries, and we haven't received those yet. It doesn't appear to be any impact to Measure Q because my fund balance that I came up with of 184,055 seems to match what they have. So they don't anticipate there'll be any changes, but that was why we called it unaudited for purposes of this discussion. We consolidated what was previously the transactions report and the carry forward report into this one report. Like to hear feedback on the remaining fund balance if there's any allocation or appropriation you'd like to do, or if you'd like to wait till mid-year to do that. There is about $184,000 in fund balance. We need to account for our USDA loan reserve, and that's the reserve for the fire station loan that we have. USDA allows you to build that reserve up 10% each year. So I took over the course of the loan that we've had so far and set aside about $40,000 as restricted fund balance to account for that reserve. So that leaves about $145,000 available.
Oh, so that 38 or whatever it was, 39 was included in the 184, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. So $145,000 remaining in fund balance. We did underspend this year in our fire when you look at the amended budget. And if you recall, we had asked the committee to amend the budget for fire equipment based on some of the mutual aid support that we received and needed to attribute to the general fund. So there's about $40,000 in savings or $38,000 in savings for the allocation to the fire department. Significant savings in police that was reallocated to fire due to the school resource officer. Because both of those were underspent, I didn't anticipate you'd have any questions on those, so we didn't. Fire and police are not here. But our sidewalk and our pavement management plan, they're underspent as well by a little bit, but Rob is here, our public works director, if you have questions on those. All of the supporting detail is in the attachments, including the credit card receipts for purchases made by the fire department. And then also would like feedback if the pavement management program, if that worked for the committee. This was the first time that we set up pavement management and transferred the Measure Q money there. Mm-hmm. So we provided the detail to support those expenses as well, both in a separate chart on page 10 of the packet and then the accumulated transactions reports in the balance sheet or the budget detail. So if that works for the committee, we'll continue with that process. If you have any questions on any of the expenditures, we can answer that. And then if there's any direction on the $145,000 in fund balance, we can make that recommendation when we present this to the city council, or we can do it at mid-year.
Okay, so I'll start with my colleagues, and I have some questions. Bart, anything on the Measure Q report, item B3?
No, but I appreciate the follow-up chart or table that you have that basically shows the total management of the pavement plan, which I had not seen that view before. Maybe it was there, but I like seeing the total thing to see how much totally we're spending and then how much comes from Measure Q. So it really, to me, helps the visibility and transparency of that issue. Thank you.
I would agree with that. If we're transferring, $500,000 into the pavement management, then we need the detail of the pavement management. Thank you. Because there's other sources supporting that. Dave, anything? John?
Yeah. Jennifer, thank you for calculating that debt service reserve. That's helpful. Do you think that the USDA wants you to have that much in cash left over at the end of the year? Or is it okay for it to just be fund balance?
I think it's okay. I could look in the loan. I had interpreted from my conversation with Susan that that was the intent.
Okay,
was to kind of
that's fine. What is the status of the skip loader rental? Is that final? Is that paid off now? I noticed the last
That's
2 months.
That's the Caterpillar lease?
Yeah, the last 2 months were like 500 and something per month.
This year is the last year of the.
So we're still paying about $2,000 a month on that?
Yeah. Do you recall what month it ends off the top of your head?
It was just a few remaining payments when I was looking at it at the end of 17-18 at June 30-18. Mm-hmm. But I don't have that off the top of my head.
Well, I just noticed that the last, I think the May and June payments were like $548 per month, and it had been $2,000 and something.
They were paying payments ahead when I looked at the invoices. The way they invoice, it's a little confusing for the accounts payable staff over in Public Works, and they were not matching up that they'd already paid a payment. So then those payments all caught up, and so there was an invoice for smaller amounts because those payments had kind of already been paid.
So
that's why you're seeing it. You saw that drop off in the May and June period.
So starting in July of 2018, it's back up to $2,000 a month?
I'd have to go back and I can follow up and send you an email on that detail. I don't have it on
okay.
top of my head.
I guess
head.
We're going to be doing the 6 month review probably next month, right?
Yeah. And
so, or
February.
We can come back to you with the payoff
okay.
amounts and how many payments are remaining.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I noticed on the table you put together, which I really do like the way you've constructed this table. It's a nice snapshot. But it shows $15,000 budgeted for the EOC emergency management plan and nothing spent there. But in the accumulated transaction listing, there's two entries for that that total $19,000.
That's correct.
There's one for $6,500 and one for $12,500.
Do you have a page number on that?
So it's page, the first one is on page 14 of the CFAC agenda. The entries for March 8th of 2018, $6,500, emergency management plan. And then on the next page, $12,500 for emergency management plan.
I believe if we look at the budget performance report, this will support what I'm going to tell you. If you go to page 24, and that's the budget performance report through the year, you'll see that there's zero year-to-date expenditures under the EOC. There was a late reimbursement that came in that offset all the expenditures for that year. So, do you recall this one, Jen? Yeah. I remember when we did one of our quarterly reports, we had a negative amount in there, meaning we had received cash reimbursement against this from a prior year, and it basically offset everything that we expended in this year to have zero. So that's why the budget performance reports show zero, but you're showing transactions that hit that, actual transactions that hit that account, if that makes any sense.
Okay.
So on that subject, on the emergency thing?
Yeah.
Okay. In previous years on the Measure Q, we received the budget and actuals, and I like this format too, but it was broken down by the exact way it was budgeted. And when we did the budget for Measure Q, we had $15,000 in there for the emergency plan. And I think we're losing a little bit of that visibility. So is there a way, certainly in future years, to give us that, you know, if we go through this effort and itemize the Measure Q, what it's going to be spent on, not every single detail, but a high level, and we have 15,000, it'd be nice to see what is charged to Measure Q against that particular line item. That was when we met in February 2018, that meeting where we were doing the Measure Q stuff.
So just so I understand, when the 17-18 budget for the EOC was not 15,000?
It was 15,000, but I think we spent 19,000, which probably is okay. But that kind of snapshot helps you when you're reviewing it at the end of the year, which is...
Okay.
At least the actual that I thought I saw in the somewhere in this CAFR was
And those are the transactions that Mr. Martin was referring to that were offset from the prior year's reimbursements. So that's why it shows, in order to reconcile to that budget performance report, it shows zero.
Okay,
but you're right, there were transactions that occurred there. Yeah. So I guess we could footnote that or somehow show that so it's not misleading.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because somehow you have to use all this data to do your report to the council.
Well, that's right. If they say, okay, so we did great in Measure Q, we spent $100,000 under what the revenue was, what do we spend it on? Well, pavement management is this. Well, police was this. Well, wait a minute, we didn't do the school where did you, you know, or whatever, where else did you, that's what I'm looking for. And I think as part of the charter, the only major task of this committee that's validated by the ballot initiative is to review the Measure Q expenditures. So at some point we should have, you know, summarized how we budgeted and how we performed against that. You know.
All right.
Go ahead, John.
So the last thing I have, and I'm glad to see that Rob Livick is here, because the last thing I have is the item for the ADA sidewalk project. This was something that was not part of the original budget for Measure Q and actually never did come before this committee, $14,665. So just so the members of the committee know the history of this, it was from the April 24th council meeting where the council was asked to approve spending $14,665 out of Measure Q to fill a gap in that CDBG-funded project for sidewalks, curb gutter and sidewalk. And there was an issue with the work done on Main Street. Let me just read this one paragraph from Rob's report that explains it. It said, during construction, several irregularities were determined with the project layout. The design plans, in order to save costs, were prepared in-house without the benefit of a topographic survey. This is typical with sidewalk projects that fill in short gaps between existing sidewalk improvements, such as was the case on Dunes, Shasta Harbor, and Napa. The stretch of sidewalk to be installed along Main Street did not have existing improvements that the contractor could match up to at either end of that portion of the project and requested the city provide additional vertical and horizontal control and design information. Since this is outside the normal scope of the contractor's responsibility, the city engaged Rick Engineering to prepare new plans based on a field topographic survey for the Main Street portion of the project. The changes to the project resulted in $14,665 in cost, for unanticipated additional engineering, grading, concrete, removal, and paving. So it came to the council with the recommendation, staff recommends funding the shortfall with the savings from the fiscal year 17-18 pavement project, which ended $63,000 under budget. And you see that reflected in the Measure Q line item there. Proposed funding would come from the local sales tax allocation, Measure Q. This expenditure is consistent with the use of Measure Q funds since the project included street perimeter improvements, curb and gutter, along with street pavement restoration. So, you know, my trouble with this item, which I expressed at a previous meeting, was just, you know, the process. But then also, the question I would have for the other committee members is, if this had been proposed to the committee as part of the original budget, that Measure Q funds be used on an ADA curb gutter and sidewalk improvement project, would this committee have approved that? Does this committee view that type of work as being under the intended use of street maintenance? And if not, then this committee should probably tell the council in our role, or tell the public in our role as the oversight committee, how the money was spent and whether or not we think it was appropriate or consistent with the intention of the measure, or with the council's adopted resolution as to what the council intends the money to be spent on. I would appreciate hearing any opinions on that.
I'd like to make sure I understand. ADA related street improvements, you see that as, I mean, all street improvements are not funded by Measure Q, as the table points out. It's about 60% of or something currently with the last one. So what is your logic as far as why you're questioning an ADA portion of this might not be a Measure Q issue?
Well, first of all, I mean, legally, Measure Q can be spent on anything, any general governmental service. But if you look back at the material that Barbara provided to us, you know, 7 months ago, there were specific things that were listed in the ballot measure. And then the City Council adopted a resolution back in 2012, which, I don't know if I have that here. They actually listed four things. In fact, Jennifer has it in her report here. So the four things that they adopted in 2012 were for to improve the fire department, enhance public safety, street maintenance, and storm drain maintenance, and prevention of toxic runoff into the bay. So, I mean, I suppose this type of a sidewalk improvement project could be considered street maintenance. But I think the concept when Measure Q was approved was that it was really for maintaining the pavement, because the pavement was becoming deteriorated, and that was the intent of that money. And as far as I know, Measure Q is not...
Okay, so you're saying you're differentiating sidewalks from streets?
Yes.
Okay. Number four on there was storm drains.
Right.
Not saying that anything's been done there. To me, that's a larger issue than 14,000 for this one. Storm drains is a major environmental issue. But okay, now I understand. You're saying, but you're differentiating sidewalks from streets.
Right. And Bart,
whether I agree or not, at least I understand
where
your logic's coming from.
Or for anybody, in terms of the history of this, over the years, this committee has had a lot of discussion, and the Measure Q funds were not intended to be used for labor resources. They were to be used primarily public safety, police, fire, and that's why you see a lot of equipment. There's been some exceptions over the year because of the fourth firefighter relief person so they could send that, have two trucks going or whatever, have a backup plan, also for the school resource officer. But in general, if the staff ever came and said, well, we want to hire somebody for half, you know, finance or recreation, that has always been no, that was not the intent to backfill labor resources. The intent of Measure Q was to do those things the voters were promised. I remember history where some office equipment or something was bought and the Measure Q committee reneged on that and said, no, that should be funded from the general fund, not from Measure Q. So that's where some of these are very gray areas, and that's where John's posing the question. On the process, it should come to, if there's any question about what it is, not strictly pavement management, it should come to the committee in advance so that we don't get into the position where we occasionally have had to in the past and say that's not a valid, in our opinion, expenditure for Measure Q, therefore back, you know, credit it back and fund it as somewhere else. So that's the point there. And you get into, and this has come up one other time on some kind of requirement from the federal government, I think it had to relate to storm drains or something, that staff maybe came and asked Measure Q to fund, and the answer was no. If it's a mandated, you know, federal government or some other expenditure, we don't use Measure Q to, you know, do that. We use it for these other items. So I think John's bringing up a point, and he's asking for opinions. And either one of you, go ahead.
Well, to me, it would come under the category of enhanced public safety. So I probably personally would not necessarily have a problem with it.
Ideally, I don't think that Measure Q funds should be spent for that purpose. The question I would ask if they had brought it to us is, are there other funding sources available to do this? If not, then it may be appropriate to use Measure Q for that. I think the ADA improvements, yeah, they're not straight street maintenance. You're taking an existing sidewalk or curb and modifying it. However, there's reasons for doing that. One is for the safety of disabled people, for one thing, disabled citizens of the community. Another is litigation avoidance, from what I understand. That's one of the drivers behind actually doing that type of work. So the question in my mind would be, where would the money come from to do that if not from Measure Q? Ideally, I wouldn't think that that's an appropriate Measure Q expenditure. The money should probably come from some other fund, but I'd want to know where that would be before I would say one way or the other. That'd be my consideration. I don't have a firm answer whether it's right or wrong or otherwise.
Well stated. I'm pretty much with Dave on the fence. It's in an ideal world, it's not the appropriate use of Measure Q funds. However, depending on the source and the amount, we have made exceptions in the past, I would probably go along with that. But it's nice to have the discussion ahead of time, not you know, after.
One other comment on that: the city council made the decision to use Measure Q funds for that purpose. So I guess the question is, what is the committee's role and what is the city council's role in all this? They're the ones that make the final decision, I would think, on any of this, any of those types of expenditures.
And we're advisory only.
And we're advisory, so if they decided to make that decision, I mean, ideally it should have been brought to us and we should have debated it and come across and given made a recommendation back to council, but they decided to do it. I think they have the authority to do it. Maybe I'm wrong on that.
Yeah. This is a little bit different animal, and you're right. The council did approve it already, and so money's been spent. It's done. There's no changing anything. The question is, what do we write in our report? How do we present it in our annual report regarding Measure Q expenditures? And the intent of the Oversight Committee was that we report to the citizens. We report to the taxpayers who approved Measure Q. So we need to make a comment on what we think about all the expenditures that were made in fiscal year 17-18. And since that one is an outlier, we need to decide what to say about that. Is it just under the heading of street maintenance and therefore it's okay, and if they want to do it in the future, then that's okay too? Or do we want to say, you know, we really don't think it's okay, but it was done, we hope it doesn't happen in the future? You know, how do you want to approach that item that doesn't really neatly fit into the intent of Measure Q?
A couple of things. One, I do agree. I think this, as I understand the Measure Q aspect of what we do, is not advisory. It is the oversight. It's a different role. So I would take exception to the way you characterize it, if I understand it correctly. And my comment, although it still can be voted on either way, I was not putting it under a street maintenance umbrella. There are four items, one of which is public safety, and I was saying that to me, I would have seen this under public safety. We can still argue whether it should be there or not, but I wasn't saying we're putting it under the umbrella of street maintenance. I think it's public safety. Now, I don't know how it was discussed by the council.
But that was the intent. Well, that was what was the rationale was in Rob's report, was that basically the road project came in under budget. There's, you know, it was under budget. So, and also this, there was some pavement work done associated with the sidewalk project. Curb and gutter and pavement, you know, the apron along the gutter was repaired as part of the project and as part of the expense. So that was the rationale for using Measure Q. It wasn't public safety that was used as the rationale. And I think, in general, public safety is viewed as police and fire.
It's always
yeah.
But still, Bart has a point there, yeah. I mean, but... You're right.
You know, there's improve the fire department, so that's the fire department. If enhanced public safety means police,
that's the way it was sold, I believe.
Okay.
To the voters.
And maybe that's something we ought to think about. If that's what the intent is to go back and find out, so that we don't get into this discussion that I'm redefining public safety as it include ADA issues when it really was meant to say police. And then we can have the argument that you had was whether or not a sidewalk goes with street maintenance, which I understand your point.
What was the expenditure amount?
14,665. So it's not a huge... And the road project did come in under budget. I mean, in total, there was less spent out of Measure Q for quote-unquote road maintenance than what was budgeted. So it's kind of like no harm, no foul. My concern is that it's the old saying, the camel's nose under the tent, right? You know, you slip this in and it gets accepted, and then pretty soon there's a bigger thing and it gets out of control. So, I mean, I think philosophically we need to make a decision on this. Is this the kind of thing that's okay or not? And if we have the opinion that it's not, then we should state that in the report.
I agree. So, and I would propose we handle it as theoretically it's not okay, should come to this committee first, should have a debate. But for this year's report, due to the amount and the fact that it came under budget, that we just make a comment in the report. That's, I think, the way I would handle it, but I'm open to any suggestion.
I agree with that. And I agree, at least I think I agree with John's position, mm-hmm. that, you know, this is not something that we would normally want to see Measure Q funding expended for. And it is kind of a camel's nose under the tent type of issue. What else could come up that this could happen with for measure, you know, excess Measure Q funding? So I agree with that.
Let's hear now from our Public Works Director, Mr. Livek. Go ahead, please.
Just to add more confusion to the item. So the ADA requirements will come into play on street paving the more work that we do. For example, if we do a major project on Main Street, let's say one of our minor arterials, and we do an overlay of over 3/4 inch or a chip seal, the regulations require we bring, with that pavement work, we bring everything up to current code, which means probably replacing all the curb ramps because the code on ADA changes about every 2 years. So you might get about 2 years' life out of a curb ramp and be out of compliance with the code. So to do that paving, it would be required to do ADA upgrades as part of federal law. Just to add to the mix that this, if we actually start doing real paving work, this will become an issue in the future. Thank you.
Thank you.
I actually have a question for Mr. Leivick. Does the city have any separate funding source for ADA improvements?
No, it's within the street right away. It comes out of our street funding sources. The additional funding that we have used, we had about 299,000 in CDBG funds from the city of Atascadero that they weren't able to spend. We have about several million dollars in sidewalk deficiencies that we need to perform. So we were able to take that money. Well, it wasn't free. They just didn't give it to us. So we're paying back our annual CDBG allocation back to the fund. So it's going to be a few years before we have additional money for these ADA type improvements in the future.
Good point. So maybe it becomes a soft comment because I view it a little bit as a gray area if it directly relates, as Mr. Leivick pointed out, to the paving. That's going to be tough. Go ahead, Rob.
That wasn't the case here. It was a blunder on our part.
Right. But in the future,
so we weren't paving and then required to put in the sidewalk. It's we're doing a sidewalk improvement project. The project engineer operated under our typical procedures and thought we could get by with letting the contractor basically do string lines. Well, there wasn't enough vertical and horizontal information for the contractor to build it, and we as the city were obligated to provide that control for them to tie into. But when we did the design and provided that control, we had more pave out. We had a wider section that we needed to pave on Main Street than we had anticipated.
Okay, fair enough.
Well, I mean, going to what we're going to say, my argument for why I would have said okay with public safety, but you're saying no, the intent of the word public safety is police, which this is not, and I would agree with John's statement that this is not road maintenance, which is different. So if there's a statement that's going to be made, it's one that should be brought to us. And secondly, it sounds like it would be either 3-1 here or 4-0. That we would have said, no, that's not a proper use of those funds.
Yeah, if I could just make one last comment. It was a great project. They did a great job. It's a real asset for the city, this sidewalk project they did. And I think that your recommendation to just make a notation of it and not make a big deal of it is fine. I would definitely vote for that. I think we should make some kind of a notation of it. And like you say, kind of a soft note should be sufficient.
And I'm more concerned about bringing it in advance in the future. And let me make another statement. If you look at the ballot language, yes, Bart, public safety was meant to be my understanding, police and fire, storm drain, and street maintenance. But the ballot initiative also had at the very end of it, as I recall, or anything else that enhances the character of life in Morro Bay. It was like some catch-all. So that wasn't supposed to be 90%. That could be, you know, a small percentage. That way, that meaning maybe you want to improve the teen center or something. May not fall discreetly under those other three, four categories, but it could be expended on that. And then we've also had legal interpretation that we do know it did not go, was not passed under Prop 13, which means a specific purpose. So in theory, the city could revoke their previous resolution to spend it on these items and spend it on anything. That's just the way
possibly
it was passed.
We could, and I don't mind being part of a two-person group to go back and relook at the wording, because as I recall when I looked at it, depending on which document you looked at, like there was sort of a pamphlet that went out to everybody saying this is what you're voting on. There was what was actually on
the ballot. I'm talking about what's actually on the ballot, not
and
what's
then,
on the pamphlet.
So
yeah.
There were like three different presentations of what this was going to be, and you could sort of pick and choose which one you wanted to serve your purpose. And then we came to where, well, really, you can you do whatever you want. And it's like, well, you know, if somebody wants to fall in line there. So I don't mind looking at the various definitions again and see if we can't come up with at least what we're saying is, are supposed to be the rules, and how strict we want to be. Because John is proposing, as I understand, a pretty strict interpretation of the four items, and that's his logic, as I'm understanding it. So if we're going to go to strict interpretation of logic for discussion here, then we need to have a strict interpretation of what it was meant to be.
I don't think we need a strict interpretation. I think we need sound business management and direction, because technically anybody can put a flyer or door hanger together running for office or on any proposition, put anything they want on it. The interpretation should be the exact language that was on the ballot. That's what the voters, when they went to the polls, voted on. And there is, I think we're pretty good on that. We've had the interpretation, unless John, I don't think, no matter what we do to try to do a strict interpretation, somebody will come with something that doesn't fit the black and white, you know.
If I could just weigh in a little bit, I think what the point is that we need to come to the committee beforehand,
exactly,
because in some cases the curb may legitimately be part of a pavement project for the reasons that the Public Works Director stated, and then in other cases like this, perhaps not. So it's probably going to be a fluctuating definition of what is and what isn't, and I think what we've heard loud and clear when we discussed this previously in April or May, I think it came, there was a discussion about it, and council's directed to that all of our, you know, performance, budget performance reports and quarterly updates come forward to the committee. Whenever there's an adjustment to Measure Q, we need to bring that to the committee before. I know in this case there was a timing issue with doing that in the scheduling of meetings, but we'll have to figure out how to make that work. So, I mean, to me, that's what I'm hearing is really the important part, and then the discussion of if it falls in within one of the categories or not would develop out of that and the circumstances behind what the request is for.
Thanks, Jennifer. That helps. John, are you okay with that?
Yeah, I am, and I just wanted to make one more comment. Just read something from this material that Barbara provided a few months ago. And it's regards to this resolution 46-12, which the council adopted back in 2012, I guess. And I think this comes from the staff report for that item. And it says, a Citizens Oversight Committee, the ballot measure required that a Citizens Oversight Committee be established to do an in-depth review of the prior year's expenses and report to the public and the city council any uses of the funds that were not part of the voters' intent. So I think that's what we need to do.
Right.
I think you have the intent, then you have the legal. So the legal aspect of it is that the money can be spent on any general government purpose. That was in the ballot measure, and that's what made it only require a simple majority approval. If it was specific to a certain service, then it would require a two-thirds voter approval. But by putting in that any general government service language, and Jennifer has that in her report here, other general city services, then by doing that, it's a general tax that only requires a simple majority approval. But the council, when they adopted this resolution 46-12, I think what they were clarifying is, you know, even though there's this legal side of it, the intent is that it be spent on these four things, and they listed those. And so we have to decide, was the money spent properly on those four things? And I know there's some interpretation that goes along with that, but in my mind, I think we should make a comment about it, as Barbara recommended. Not make a big deal of it, but make a comment so that both the public and the council is aware of it.
I agree.
If you're going to make a comment, I would basically say, why are there zero monies used for storm drains when that was one of the four? I mean, it's pretty clear, and it's pretty clear that that's not been addressed. But as far as I can tell.
Well, our reporting goes on what the money was spent on, and certainly I'll send, summary, I'll send that around. We can comment. But the reality is typically the majority of the money has been spent on the street maintenance and then plus the department loan, the fire station loan.
I understand.
I'm not
that.
Sure I want to you get into, I don't know.
Maybe. Well, the intent. Yeah. I mean, if we're talking about the intent, it's pretty clear that somebody thought storm drains were important. It's one of the four items there, and nothing's being done. I mean, it seems like that ought to be addressed, is why, when that was clearly part of the ballot measure, initiative, whatever it's called, the vote. But it's not being addressed.
Then I think it ought to be addressed when we're getting together with the budget for each year on what they're going to do. We should be, that's the time to bring it up. And we can certainly put that in as a comment that, you know, some of our committee members feel that maybe there should be more attention. Some of that's going to be addressed in the One Water Plan, I think. But go ahead, Rob, please.
Exactly. So in the past, our last CIP for storm drain was 1983. The One Water Plan updated the CIP for storm drain work. So this budget year, you'll see requests for storm drain repairs that in the budget.
For the next fiscal year.
Yeah, based on the One Water Plan recommendations for capital improvement projects.
Okay.
Well, there wouldn't be anything really controversial to place a statement in the report that says no money was spent on drains.
Mm-hmm. And we would recommend that receive a higher priority in the next fiscal year, something like that.
I don't think you even need to make a recommendation. Okay. I think just make a simple statement that mm-hmm. no money was spent on drains.
Well, that's what
drains.
We usually do when we break it down. That's why I was saying to Jennifer, I like it the way the format was before, where it was a little more detailed. Here's what was budgeted for Measure Q. Here's what was spent. Okay. I think we can do that. So I had another comment then. Back in our February meeting where we talked about the mutual aid and the backfilling some fire with the $65,000, almost $66,000, was that, I was under the understanding that that was going to be, after they were reimbursed for the mutual aid, that that was going to be reimbursed to Measure Q, which means we'd have more in the carryover to go to the street, the pavement management plan.
I think the recommendation or the request at mid-year, I think is when we brought that forward, was to purchase fire equipment out of Measure Q. We weren't intending to, I don't believe we stated that we would be reimbursing Measure Q for that.
Okay.
It was a reallocation of the police money for that equipment. At the time, we weren't looking like we were going to be able to balance for year end.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe I misunderstood. I thought some of that might come back because of the reimbursements were higher than anticipated. All right. I'll research that further. Anything else on the Measure Q or the expenditures? Or Jennifer, when do we want to present this to City Council? When do we need to, I guess?
I guess that can be up to the committee. It could go, and maybe it does go nicely with the CAFRA report if we're able to do that on January 22nd. If that works, that would give you a meeting before Council if you wanted to prepare a presentation or anything to share with the committee.
Couldn't go on the first meeting, January 8th?
It potentially could. I could check with our city manager on the schedule and see. I didn't know if you wanted another opportunity to bring forward your draft to the committee.
It's usually a pretty brief report. They only give us a few minutes, so I was going to try to do that over the break and get it done the way, since we have the applicants and everything in January coming up in the interviews. That would be my preference. I'm not sure what's on that agenda January 8th, but I thought it might be easier to get it in there and get it done.
It doesn't look like it's that full of agenda at this point. Of course, we're about a month away from that, so I can put it on there, and I'll let you know if it's able to meet
okay.
the 10th.
And then I can get out to the folks by the end of December, I think, so they can review it. I'm concerned, too, January 22nd with the CAFR and everything else. That's, you know.
Okay.
Okay. Does that conclude agenda item B3? All right. So that should bring us to future agenda items, B4. So for our January meeting, we won't be ready for the mid-year budget review for that, correct? That'll be more February, probably.
We'll bring back the budget and brief document and try to get that finalized. And I have the CAFR on my list. CAFR will be first, and then the budget and brief.
Oh, okay, good. CAFR, budget, and brief.
And then if there's anything else, the committee.
If anything else, we'll put it on.
Have you found out anything about the prepayment of CalPERS that you were going to research?
We do need to have a discussion about the Coral Ave property payment. So we could tentatively put that on the agenda and see if we get there as well. And that would tie into the CalPERS prepayment.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We talked about that. That was only on the down payment of that property, right? So I thought there was a...
It was when we originally talked about it. The project's been approved through council at this point.
Okay.
So we can have a broader conversation.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. Let me have a recommendation on that. So that sounds good. Any other closing comments or questions from anybody? John? Bart?
Thinking about the... Wait, no. January, it's still the four of us. The meeting there. I was thinking about there's going to be new members, but that's going to be the February meeting.
That would be the February. Just and it may be more than the four. It could be the, we have two people absent.
Okay.
Walter would be five of us.
Okay. Then looking at February, somewhere in there to do an indoctrination. And again, that might be a workshop offline. I don't know how many new, like, you know, there's going to be at least one new person.
Mm-hmm.
But that might be some thought to do that after you've finished your big slug of stuff. But most of what I'm talking about, workshop, most of it you wouldn't really have to prepare for. It's just a matter of almost, you know.
Yeah, the only challenge would be, regardless of if it's a formal meeting or not, whenever there's a quorum present, we have the Brown Act mm-hmm. issue. So it has to be noticed and publicly, you know, available. So I can have a conversation with Scott and see how we can maybe put that together.
And I wouldn't have a problem with a workshop being in front of people, but have it be informal.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know if that's possible within the Brown Act.
I think so. I think also we, all of us still have those books that were excellent that we can share on the accounting that we ordered a year ago that Jennifer got for us and share those with some new members and then maybe have them a little orientation on that, kind of wrap it all together. By that time, we'll have the CAFR done if somebody really wants to read all 153 pages verbatim, like I did, or no, not really, but so. But that's a good point, and we will get to that. There's some other things. Okay, Dave, any comments? No. Anything else from staff?
Hope everybody has a happy holiday, safe New Year's. See you next year.
Same here. Happy holidays to all. Happy New Year. And again, applications for any of the citizens' committees are due January 11th, so we encourage all interested citizens to apply. So I'll adjourn the meeting, 4:50, December 18th, 2018. Thank you all for your participation.